Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Well, hopefully you're awake out there after worshiping the songs we worshiped this morning. It's Mother's Day. Everyone should be awake because it's Mother's Day. We want to thank you so much for moms being here, and a happy Mother's Day to every one of you this morning. We thank you so much for taking the time and spending part of your day and celebrate this special day that you have. And I pray that God blesses you this morning and this day, and you get to spend time with your family too. If you have your Bibles, if you could take them out and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, I'd appreciate that. And if you have your bulletins with you, inside of the bulletin, there's an outline to follow along with the message. We're going to continue on our series, Keys to Living, that we started last week. Last week we talked about there's a new way to live that the Bible gives us in Ephesians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul says they put off the old ways of doing things that never worked in the first place. And now he tells you and I that we are put on the new ways of doing things. The new coat is what he's talking about, the new person that's in Christ, fashioned after the image of Christ and his holiness and his righteousness. He's telling us we're to live this way, to put on the new ways and the new things that come with the new ways and live a new way. But in order to live this new way, we have to learn those new ways, don't we? They just don't come natural to us, so we have to learn them. And that's what Paul is doing, is addressing the new way to live in Christ. And he gives us the keys to living. And over the next several weeks, we're going to study in each one of these each week. And the one we're studying this week is keys to honesty. God calls you and I to be honest. How many times a day do you believe that the average person lies? That you would say, how many times you say, oh, how many times does someone say? What? 50, someone else? Five. There's a survey that actually came out, and they said the average person lies 50 times a day. Can you believe it? 50, isn't it? That seems kind of high, doesn't it? I mean, seriously. You kind of think 50 times a day, that's all high. There's a study from Britain that says that the average man lies 6 times a day. And the average woman lies 3 times a day. That doesn't seem right, does it? I mean, come on, guys. That doesn't seem, it just can't seem accurate to think about the average man lies twice as much as the woman. And meaning the woman's, yeah, you do. So anything. In one study, they said 91% of all the people lie. They lie about something they consider very trivial. It doesn't really matter. 36% lie about important matters. Listen to this, 86% of people lie regularly to their parents. Can you believe 86%? 75% to friends and 73% to siblings. And it's interesting because the reason that people say that they lie is protect someone. They say, I don't want to hurt them, so I lie. And that's why they say they lie, because I'm afraid to hurt someone. In reality, to think about this, it seems like the real reason that someone lies is to protect myself. My image, from embarrassment, from what I've done. So I lie to protect me. Doesn't it? It's all about selfish. It's all about me. That's the reason we lie many times. Often people lie about their accomplishments. People will lie and exaggerate about their education. They lie about their age, about their weight, and all kinds of things. And some common things that people lie about, and I have a kind of list here. Some say, you know, the check is in the mail. That's not as recent, but the check is in the mail, people say. They say, I'll start my diet tomorrow. Give me your number and the doctor will call you right back. One size fits all. Money cheerfully refunded. Your luggage is not lost, but it's misplaced. Leave your resume and we will keep it on file. And this hurts me more than it hurts you. But the number one lie struck me. It says, it's this, I am okay and there's nothing wrong. I am okay and there's nothing wrong. How many of us have said that? Something happened, say, no, don't worry about it, I'm okay. I'm fine. How many of us have said that and we really lied when there was really something wrong? Over the next several weeks, we're going to be going through Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul talks about these keys to living, and he gives us these characteristics that he says that we're to put on, that you and I are to put on the new ways and live a certain way before God. And Paul gives us the keys, three keys to understand each one of these characteristics. And the three keys that we're going to be going through, each one of these characteristics is this. First thing that Paul's going to give us, he's going to describe the lying. He's going to say this, tell us about the lion, this thing, about the sin I'm talking about, the sin. He's going to first tell us about the sin. Then he's going to tell us, the second thing he's going to tell us, how to avoid the sin. And third, he's going to give us the reason to avoid the sin. And every one of these characteristics, we're going to go over the same three things. That's what he tells us. So let's begin in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. The Apostle Paul says this, therefore, we just talked about put off, and now put on the new ways. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Right there, he tells us. So three keys to honesty, and the first one is this, honesty does not lie. And Paul is telling us about the sin and now is lying, and that's what he's describing. Don't lie. What the apostle's saying, no to telling falsehoods and telling lies, that should be not a part of being you who you are in Jesus Christ, to put on the new coat, the new ways. Lying should not be a part of that, what he's telling you now. Don't do those type of things. When we think about that, what is a lie when we think about a lie? Well, a lie is not telling the truth with the motive to deceive. When trying to deceive someone or keep the truth from them. And then Apostle Paul used that word in other places in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, where he says this. He speaks of all humanity. He says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. He also talks about in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, he used the same word. He says every person or every man, he says, is a liar. And lying is not telling the truth. And we do that in all kinds of ways, don't we? We lie. By withholding the truth, we keep the truth for someone else, and we're trying to deceive them. We kind of tell little white lies, those little lies that we say that don't hurt anyone. We tell half-truths. We exaggerate the truth. When we exaggerate, that is a lie, exaggerating what happened, trying to make it more than what it is and stuff like this. And by answering a question with the intention to deceive someone, it's a lie. They're all forms of lying, and all those fit in that category, what the Apostle Paul calls is lying. And he's telling you and I not to do it, to put off the old ways, now to put on the new ways. But why is lying wrong when we think about it? Why is it wrong? Why is it wrong to lie? Well, it conflicts with the nature and character of God is what he's talking about here. When we put on the new coat, and he says for you and I to put on our new ways, the scripture over and over and again describes the nature and character of God. And it says the nature and character of God is true and trustworthy. And so you and I are to put on that. And because God is true and trustworthy, God cannot lie. And so you and I cannot lie. And we read throughout the scriptures, throughout all the Old Testament, it describes the attributes of God. The attributes of God so you and I can understand these are God's promises that he's given us. When God gives us an attribute, he says, you can trust me and you can believe in this promise, what I'm saying, because the nature and character of God is true. And when you and I open up this Bible, read this Bible and these golden nuggets of truth in here, we can believe in what it's saying in the scriptures because of the nature and character of God, of who he is, that he's trustworthy, he's true. And that's what the Bible says about him, that God does not lie. We understand it. So when you and I lie, we're in conflict with the nature and character of God. In the book of Lamentations, when Jeremiah was in pain and suffering and with the destruction of Babylon, he says this about God in Lamentations 3. He says, great is your faithfulness, O God. Your compassions never fail and are new every morning. That God is true and God is always faithful and true, no matter what, because that is who God is. He cannot lie. And God is faithful to his attributes and faithful to who he is. In contrast, the Bible says the wicked one, Satan, is one who lies all the time. And Jesus talks about that and when he's talking to a crowd of people in John chapter 8, verse 44. Listen to what he says about Satan. It says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now we see here's the contrast. We have the Bible is telling us that God the Father speaks the truth. He cannot lie. We have Jesus telling us, and right before he goes the next day to the cross, in John 14, 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says that he's the truth. We have over in John chapter 17 in Jesus' high priestly prayer where he says this, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So what we have here, the God the Father is truth, God the Son's the truth, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit is truth, contrasted to Satan, who is one who lies and the father of lies. So when we think about this, when you and I lie, who are you most like? We like God the Father? We like God the Son. We like God the Holy Spirit. We're like Satan, who was a liar from the beginning and is the father of lies. And we reflect in him the old ways in which we used to live. And God is saying we have to put on the new ways is what we have to do. And the new ways do not lie is what he's telling us. So how do we avoid lying? How do we get around this? And Paul tells us how to avoid the sin, and that's the second key to honesty. And each one of these passages, it's so great because he tells us that. What is the sin? How to avoid the sin? And that's what it is in the second one. Honesty always speaks the truth. And anytime God takes something away, he says, don't do this, put this off. God gives you and I something far greater to do. And he says, speak the truth. And Paul mentions that in Ephesians 4:25. He says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. So you and I, we're to speak the truth. We are to be people of truth. And this is also quoted in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16, where it says, these are the things you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. And we look at that, say, well, how do we speak the truth? How do we do that? When we have the old former way, we have this old coat that we talked about last week that we've been wearing it so long, it's so custom made for us and it fits so good. And those old ways are so ingrained in our hearts and minds, so ingrained into us that it's really easy to exaggerate the truth. It's really easy to deceive people. It's really easy to lie. And it's so easy for so many of us. So how do we, since we've been doing this for so long, how do we put this new coat on and now speak the truth? How do we actually do that? Well, let me give you some practical ways. The first way is we have to come, and sooner or later we have to make a commitment. We have to come and we say, God, I'm going to drive a stake in the ground. And may that be today where you say, God, I'm going to drive a stake in the ground. And if you've never done that, you come today and say, God, I'm going to drive a stake in the ground, and I'm going to be a person of truth. I'm going to put off the old ways that never work, and they never will. And I'm going to put on the new ways which work, which you've called me to live. God, I'm going to be one that kind of upholds the truth. I'm going to be one that defends the truth. I'm going to be one that loves the truth. And I'm going to be one that speaks the truth. Help me to be that person. And we come to God and the Father and say, God, I'm asking you to make me that person by the power of the Holy Spirit, that I might yield my heart and mind to you, that you might help me to be the person you've called me to be, to speak the truth, to be a person of truth. And I'm coming to you now and asking you, say, Lord, help me to be that person no matter what it cost me. Because when you start speaking the truth, it's going to cost you something. It always does. When we start living for God, it's going to cost you something. It may cost you spending more on your income tax when we start speaking the truth. It may cost us an argument. Get me in an argument because now I'm speaking the truth and I'm not going to buy into the lies everyone is. I'm going to speak the truth. It may cost me my job because my employer is asking me to do things that are not right. And I say, I can't do that because I have to be a person of truth and I have to speak the truth, or no longer can I do those things. If you've never driven that stake in the ground, I would challenge you to drive that stake in the ground and say, God, I'm going to be a person of truth. Even though I haven't been in the past, I lived the old ways. Today, I'm putting on the new coat, the new ways. And I'm asking you by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would help me to speak the truth in all times and all ways, and always speak the truth and nothing but the truth from now on. But be ready once you make that commitment, once you drive that stake in the ground, be ready to be challenged right away. Within a few hours or a couple days, you will be challenged at this. And you will find that God, you will be challenged. What if you slip up? What if I just messed up and I just deceived that person? What if I mess up and I just exaggerated the truth? It was supposed to be 100 and I said, oh, it was 150 or 200 or whatever. What if I just did that? Am I supposed to drive another stake in the ground? If we do that, we'll be constantly driving stakes in the ground. No, what you want to do is drive the stake in the ground and now build on that commitment. Say, God, I'm going to build it in. I'm not going to keep driving stakes. God, I said this today and I'm going to build on what I'm doing. And if you do slip up, if you do lie, if you do kind of exaggerate the truth, I want to tell you to do two things. The first thing is you come and you confess it to God. You come and you agree with God. God already knows you did wrong. He already knows you lied. He already knows you exaggerated. You come and you just confess it. God, I agree with you. What I did was wrong. And the Bible tells us, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We do that. We agree with God it's wrong. Second is you go to the person and you tell them, hey, I just lied to you. Hey, I just exaggerated the truth, and I need to make this right. I guarantee when you do that, that's tough. That's difficult. But if we're going to drive the stake in the ground and I'm going to be a person of truth, I have to stand by that commitment. And if you make that commitment, anytime I lie, anytime I exaggerate, anytime I deceive someone, I'm going to confess it to God and I'm going to go to that person. I'm going to make it right. I can guarantee you're going to make a middle note and say, man, this was difficult. I never want to have to do that again. It's going to stop you in your tracks the next time you're going to lie. It's going to stop you in the track and you're going to become a person who speaks the truth. See, because when we lie, when you and I lie, we don't tell the truth, something inside of us happens. It hurts us. It's horrible. Our character becomes tainted. It like kills our character. It really does. It kind of destroys our character. It puts holes in our character and people begin to look at us. Before we know it, we can't trust others because we can't trust ourselves. And we start thinking everyone's just like me. They can't speak the truth. So how can I trust what anyone else is saying? And I don't trust anyone, and I think everyone's out lying too. And before we know it, everyone looks at us and they say, man, that person is not a person of truth. We can't trust them. Once you begin to lie and you don't speak the truth, people usually will forgive you once or twice, but by that third time, they kind of say and put you, characterize you, boy, that person's a liar and they never speak the truth. We can't trust them. It's so hard to overcome that, but it doesn't mean we don't try to. From this day forward, you come, so let's speak the truth at all times. Let's be a person who's, God, I'm going to represent your character to a world that desperately needs to see you. I'm going to put on the new ways, and I'm going to be a person of honesty. I'm going to speak the truth. But when we speak the truth, we have to do it in love, right? We have to be saying in love. We don't do it out to hurt others. Some people, I just told them the truth. There's a way to share the truth that's not going to offend people. There's a way to share the truth that you can do it in love. Somebody says, well, how do I look? And you know it doesn't look right. You got to watch what you say, right, guys? Your wife asks you how you look. You got to watch what you say, those types of things. But I have found out over the years in ministry and other places, when someone comes up and tells me, Doug, I'm just sharing this in love, I found out for my own that they usually aren't telling me that in love. Have you found that out to be true? If someone's going to share the truth to me, they usually don't have to say that to me. If someone is sharing that, it's because their heart's not right. So what we want to do, before we share that truth in love to others, it may hurt, let's pray about it and say, God, give me their words to share. May you tender their hearts that they might be open to the truth in what you have. But look, guys, there's no place for you and I to ever lie. There's no place to tell little white lies. I don't want to hurt them. We always are to speak the truth. That's what Paul is saying. Speak the truth at all places and all ways and all times, always speaking the truth. And sometimes we think, well, I don't tell them all the truth or tell them partial truth. I'm going to exaggerate it. That is lying. We're to speak the truth. But Paul gives us the reason that we have to be people of truth. He goes on. He says in verse 25, for we are all members of one body. So the third key to honesty is be honest because we are members of God's family. And the reason to be honest because we belong to each other. That we're all a part of the family. It doesn't say in this passage that they all go to the same church. It's not about going to the same church. Even though going to the same church and being a believer in Christ, we're all part of the family. But what it's saying, it says, we are members of one another. We are interconnected. We belong to each other. He says, we're part of God's family. We're in the body of Christ. We're together in all things. That's what he's saying now. Now that you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are in Christ. And some of you are eye, and some of you are ear, and some of you are hand, and some of you are arm, and some of you are foot, and some of you are leg. We're so interconnected. And one person can't lie to another part of the body without hurting that part of the body, without hurting themselves in the process. Because we're so interconnected. So when you tell a lie, not only you hurt that other person, but you're hurting yourself and you're hurting the whole body. That's what he's saying. That's what this means, because we're part of a family and we belong to each other and we're telling lies. It's hurting everyone that's part of the family. It's hurting the whole family. Have you ever seen a lie go through a family? You can say it just destroys families. And so he says, don't do those types of things. He says, so let's tell the truth at all times because we're together and interconnected. And we're members of one another. We belong to the family. So he said, let's tell the truth. Let me give you an illustration in Acts chapter 5. If you could turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. The first sin of the church that God had to dramatically deal with was not blasphemy, was not idolatry, was lying. And let me kind of set this up. It actually begins in Acts chapter 4. Some of the people in Jerusalem didn't have nothing because of the persecution that was going on in the Jerusalem church and because of a famine. And there were some people who did have some things. And the person at the end of Acts chapter 4, we find out he had some things, was Barnabas. Barnabas had a plot of land, and Barnabas sold the plot of land. And he comes and brings the proceeds from the plot of land, the full proceeds from the plot of land, and he lays it at the apostles' feet. And the apostles' feet takes that money, and they give to those that had nothing to eat so they could go out and buy food and they could eat. And so that Barnabas was applauded for his generosity. He was applauded because he was one that was an encourager to all. And now here we come to Acts chapter 5, the very next chapter, and it's in contrast to what just happened in Acts chapter 4. It's put there for a reason. It's in contrast. We have one here as Barnabas, who's one of generosity, who shares to help others, and now it comes to Acts chapter 5, and it's this couple of Ananias and Sapphira, and you probably know the story. This married couple had a plot of land, and they sold it. And then they took the proceeds from the plotted land, and they laid it at the apostles' feet. But there was something about that wasn't just right when they laid their money at the apostles' feet. Say, they brought some of the money, but not all the money, and they laid it at the apostles' feet. Is that a problem? No. No, it's not a problem. It's not a problem they did that. Wasn't it theirs to have the right to do whatever they wanted with the money? Yeah. But what they did, they came and they laid the money down there and they led the people to believe that they gave all the money from the property at the apostles' feet. They deceived the people in the church. They deceived the church. And that's what the story is about in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Let's read it. It says, "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, 'Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God.'" Verse 5, "When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard of what had happened. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him." Verse 7, "About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, same question, 'Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Is this all that you got for it?' And she answers, 'Yes,' she said, 'that is the price.' Peter said to her, 'How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also.' At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about those events." Now, when you read that story, you have to come away with a couple of conclusions or a couple of questions. First, you have to look and say, man, God feels pretty strong about lying, doesn't he? You have to come away with it. Man, he really feels, that's kind of dramatic of what God did there. I mean, the man lied and he struck them both down. Then you have to ask this question, think to yourself, God, wasn't that just too much? I mean, didn't you go too far? Was it kind of harsh what you did there? I mean, come on. They sold the plot of land, and they gave part of the money, and some of the poor people ate. Isn't that good enough? Was he a little too harsh there? What's the big deal, God? What were you doing there? Why couldn't you go a little softer? Why did you have to strike them down? If you remember the story also in the book of Joshua chapter 7, we have a similar story. The people have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and they come into their promised land. They're about to enter. And God miraculously allows them to cross the Jordan River in the flood season. And they come across the Jordan River, and the first big city they come to is the city of Jericho. And the city of Jericho has these big walls, and there's no way they're going to be overcome those walls. And God miraculously conquers and destroys the city of Jericho for the Israelites. And it was one agreement God had. All the spoils from Jericho come to me. God said, they come to me. You don't get any of them. You dedicate all those to me. Well, there was one guy, his name was Achan. He took some silver and took some gold, and he took a garment from Babylon, and he hid it underneath his tent. And apparently his family knew what he had done, And when it was uncovered and discovered what he did, the Bible says that they died. They died because of their sin, because of their lie, because of what they did there. Why? And you think, why would God do this? Because God was at a new time. That period was beginning right there. And God was bringing them into the promised land. And God was a God that he was going to bring his people in there, and he wanted them to represent him in a very strong way. And he was sending a message, a very strong message to the people at that time. I am a God who does not tolerate lying because it is against my nature and is against my character. And he says, and now you're going into country, a new place, and I need you to represent me for who I am. And I do not tolerate lying. I do not tolerate stealing. And he wants us to know that. It will not be tolerated. Do not do this. And he makes such a strong case that he strikes those people dead. We jump forward to Acts chapter 2, where God begins the church. And the church is now a new movement. And God's doing a new time period with these people, a new church. And then we jump to Acts chapter 5. And you kind of see that God is saying, I want you to know something here in Acts chapter 5. I haven't changed. I haven't changed the way I think about this. I do not like lying. I hate lying. He's saying that to you and I again. And the fear came up on the people in Acts chapter 5 when he struck down Ananias and Sapphira. And they would remember way back to Achan. And God says, I have not changed. God is immutable. He does not change his ways. And now this reverberates all the way through Acts chapter 5, all the way through 21 centuries of the church. And we come to today, and you and I remember what God is saying to you and I in 2018. He's reminding you and I, do not lie, but speak the truth. And for us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, you and I are going out to a world that desperately needs to see Jesus. And God says, when you lie, that does not represent who I am. That does not represent my nature and character. I do not need you to lie, but I need you to speak the truth because you are a representation of me. And that's not who I am. And you are to put on the new coat and you are to be honest. And you are to speak the truth in all things is what God is saying to you and I. And he couldn't say it in a stronger way that he's reminding you from Joshua chapter 7 and Acts chapter 5. Do not lie, but speak the truth. And lying is a big, big, big deal with God. And that's why Paul is picking this up with you and I. And he's saying, put on the new coat. Put on the new coat. Let me just ask you, how many of us, I'm not asking you to raise hand, have gotten into trouble for lying? Somebody starts laughing. They tell one lie and then another lie and then another lie, and it gets you in all kinds of trouble. And you find, man, how did I ever start that? Or you saw someone get in trouble with lying. How many churches have been destroyed because either the leaders have lied or people lied about the leaders? Lying destroys people, destroys relationships, and this is all about relationships. That's what Paul is talking about, how to relate to others. And lying destroys relationships. It destroys marriages. It destroys church. It messes up our fellowship with God when we lie. All those things are not good. So today what we do, we come and we drive that stake in the ground. We make that commitment before God and say, God, maybe I haven't been a person of truth. None of us are perfect, guys. None of us can say, I've never lied. If you're saying that, you're not being truthful. We've either exaggerated the truth, deceived someone, haven't told the whole truth because we're keeping things from people. All of us need to come and drive that stake in the ground. If you've already done that, build on that commitment and say, God, I can't keep this commitment on my own. I'm asking you, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ, that you would help me to make that commitment to you, that I would uphold the truth, I would love the truth, and I would speak the truth in all things. And I will no longer lie. Even if it's going to cost me, and whatever it may cost me, God, you will be with me. You will help me wherever I am. Whatever I got to do, you will help me. My question is, are you in? Are you in? You ready to make that commitment to God? Are you ready to say yes to God? Because the old doesn't work. It never did and never will. Lying never did work and it never will. It doesn't work. It will always get you into trouble. And God is saying, well, you put on the new ways because that's the way that works. The new way is in Christ. And what he's telling you now is Paul is saying to put off the old, stop the lying. He says, put on the new. Be honest and speak the truth in all things. This is the way that works. This is the way that glorifies Jesus. This is the way that represents God to a world that desperately needs to see who he really is. And you and I have to be separate from the world. Doesn't matter what the world is doing. You and I have to be people who speak the truth, who are honest in all things, that they know they can come up to us because we're believers in Christ, and we know I can come up to you and you're going to tell me what really happened. Are you going to be honest with me? And they know that. We have to be people who are honest, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we come and we praise you. We praise you when we read the scriptures, God, and we see that not only you tell us what not to do, but you tell us what we should be doing, and you give us the reason why. And scripture is so good to that. It helps us, Lord, to know the moral reason why we should follow something, why we should do something. The Lord, that you tell us right away that do not lie. That's actually one of your commandments, that we should not lie. But, Lord, that we should be speaking of truth. And I pray for every one of us, Lord, we see the seriousness of lying, how much you hate it, because it's against your nature and character. And, Lord, it would move us and motivate us, Lord, because of our love that we have for you, that we'd be people who speak the truth in love. They would be honest in all things. And Lord, help us to put on the new coat, the new way, and be these people. Help us to make that commitment today. Help us to drive that stake in the ground. I pray for that person today who's been struggling by exaggerating any of those types of things, telling little white lies that they don't think that's going to hurt anybody. I pray that you would convict us this morning of that and help us, Lord, to take that step with you and make that commitment with you and be people who speak the truth. Help us, Lord, to glorify you. Help us to fix our minds and hearts upon you today that you may be glorified. Lord, we praise you and we love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.